Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. Today, we are talking about Scandal and not the show.
Which is a great show, though.
I never got into it.
So I actually only watched, I think, the first three seasons, and then I was like, okay, this is way too much. Way too much Scandal.
Yeah, I saw one episode, and I thought it was a little overboard for me. I can see why people like it, but...
because it's got sex, politics, sex.
So
there
those
you go.
Are the things we're talking about today. And we're looking specifically at women in political scandal and some gender differences in how female politicians and male politicians are able to recover or not recover from a scandal.
Right.
And we do have a quick trigger warning. We're not going to get in too much detail about anything, but but we are going to be talking about revenge porn briefly and sexual assaults, just in general sexual situations.
Yes.
Corruption.
corruption.
Yeah. So this was in part inspired by the recent scandal involving Representative Katie Hill, which we will get into in a little bit. And it involves a lot of things, a lot of disparate threads that are all episodes that have been done in the past, and we could probably revisit, like revenge porn, Me Too, sexual harassment. But we're just going to touch on those things today.
Right.
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 So, definitions. We'd like to start with definitions. From a 2017 paper called Corruption and Sexual Scandal, The Importance of Politician Gender, political scandal is, quote, any action or event involving a politician that is regarded as illegal, corrupt, or unethical and prompts general public outrage. This can be something like violating the Constitution here in the United States, the crimes and misdemeanors we hear about, abuse of power, or violations of socially established ethical and moral standards. These scandals, depending on their severity, and as we're going to get into, gender and skin color, can permanently impact a politician's electability.
Right. Political scandals can and have destabilized the status quo and permanently altered history. We know this. We're seeing this, actually.
Yep.
They've added terms and phrases to our lexicon. Corruption is a major obstacle for achieving equality.
Yeah, so it's a pretty big deal we're talking about, and it's hard to differentiate. There are two main types of scandal, corruption and sexual. it seems to be that's the case. Mm. And in general, people are more concerned with corruption scandals as opposed to sexual scandals. However, women are punished more severely when it comes to sexual scandals of similar magnitude carried out by men. To a lesser extent, women are punished more severely for corruption scandals as well. But let's look at some examples, shall we?
Let's.
All right, so one thing I would say before we get into this, something I thought of at first when we were talking about doing this episode, is a difference I see a lot in political scandals when it comes to gender is not only in the forgiveness or willingness to forgive or not, but also the public apology portion.
Right.
Because I feel like dude politicians always drag their wife up there, and she's standing next to them, maybe slightly behind them, to show that she supports this male politician, her husband or whoever, while he apologizes.
Which is kind of, have you, in the episodes of Parks and Rec, the main corrupt sexual harasser of all, you know, that has all of those scandals, you see the wife every time, and then the final, I think the final corruption story that's made public, she just turns her back and just puts her head down.
Yeah, I'm done. I am done. It always feels so awkward and uncomfortable. And I mean, the whole thing is awkward and uncomfortable, but...
I mean, even the fact that women have to come out and make statements, especially in this era of social media.
Yeah.
Kavanaugh's wife, I think, had made a statement, didn't she, in regards to supporting her husband.
Yeah.
It's just, ugh.
Yeah, there's something about it that feels really icky.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like I have seen that kind of public apology with a male, with a female politician and her significant other male behind her. Okay, but examples. One is the Eaton Affair from 1829 to 1831. Early on in Andrew Jackson's term, his friend and Secretary of War, John Henry Eaton, got married to Margaret Peggy O'Neill. And Peggy had a reputation for being promiscuous. And apparently it was quite the reputation. It eventually led to the dissolution of Jackson's cabinet. A lot of Jackson's cabinet and their wives, because yes, all the cabinet members were men at the time, did not approve of Peggy and her behavior. And by association, they did not approve of Eaton for being with her. Jackson stood behind his friend Eaton. But eventually, tensions boiled over and it became apparent that things couldn't be solved. Jackson forced cabinet members to resign. Peggy was perhaps a more emotional linchpin members of the cabinet against Eaton's protective terrorists could use to force him out. They were really against that thing.
Right.
And they pointed to her, a promiscuous woman, and used that to kind of...
take him out.
Yeah.
During the 80s and 90s, Member of Parliament and a wife of Northern Ireland's First Minister, Iris Robinson, was discovered having an affair with a man 40 years older than her. The press dubbed her the Celtic Cougar, and she had to step down.
Wow.
Of course.
What a nickname. Former Home Secretary of the UK, Jackie Smith, resigned after it was revealed that she claimed the purchase of pornographic films as part of her parliamentary expenses. She claimed the purchases were her husband's, but she still resigned, reasoning, quote, I was the one who did the wrong thing for claiming it, for not going through the expense form closely enough.
Mm. And then, again, we want to talk about Monica Lewinsky. I don't think we could bypass any conversations about politics and scandal without talking about her. We've already talked about her during our women and sexuality episode, but this was the scandal of Bill Clinton's presidency. She was a White House intern that ended up being recorded and being the main witness for Clinton's impeachment. She was, of course, ridiculed, slut-shamed, and scapegoated and gaslighted throughout her career. As in, she actually apologized to the Clintons during a Barbara Walters special, which says a lot. And then she moved to London to try to stay out of the spotlight. And I don't think it was until the Me Too movement and her powerful essay that she wrote for Vanity Fair that she started to become recognized as not the slutty temptress, but perhaps a young, naive girl who was groomed by the most powerful man in the country.
Yeah.
But we see that she was really vilified from jump. And even now, she still has moments of being made fun of and all of that. And there have been several people who have apologized from their reaction. But, you know, she's a prime example of women in politics. She's become the main source of ridicule as if it was all her fault, which is a whole different standard in itself. And then coming into Katie Hill, who was the inspiration for this specific episode. In October 2019, California Representative Katie Hill resigned after a committee investigation into her alleged sexual relationship with her legislative director and staffer from her campaign. She told the Ethics Committee, "I know that even a consensual relationship with a subordinate is inappropriate, but I still allowed it to happen despite my better judgment. For that, I apologize. I wish nothing but the best for her and hope everyone respects her privacy in this difficult time." And then she released the statement about it. "I know that as long as I'm in Congress, we'll live fearful of what might come next and how much it will hurt." And she was right to be fearful, obviously. This all was a result of a post on RedState about the affair, complete with intimate pictures, one in which she and the other woman in the photo are naked. Hill claims this is the work of her abusive ex-husband, who, in her words, is determined to humiliate her. And actually, there was a statement released by the ex-husband saying that his phone had been hacked. So that makes you wonder many a things.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a really murky situation. Sexual relationships with underlings or those who are your subordinates is bad. Abuse is bad. Revenge porn is bad. And because of the complexity of this story, the number of threads, Democrats were accused of having somewhat confused response. When asked, Kamala Harris commented, "Let's also speak the truth that men and women are not held to the same standards." I mean, look at who's in the White House. Katie Hill was one of the first openly bisexual representatives, something that drew a lot of ire from conservatives. Some people call this electronic assault or digital exploitation, and others call it revenge porn. As the victim of it, I call it one of the worst things that we can do to our sisters and our daughters. And that was a quote from Katie Hill. And I think that does bring up a lot of questions about what should be allowed, what isn't allowed, what is, again, the law with revenge porn or publicizing someone else's photo. How does that work? I mean, that even comes into talking about Instagram photos. And although it is public property after you do publish it on Instagram, which is weird to me in itself, when someone uses that to profit off of, it's such, and it's not yours. It's such a weird conversation to have. And this is that same, well, even worse idea that as an act of revenge or because you're mad, you take something that was consensual. And yes, using like any relationships with people who is a subordinate is very, very inappropriate. But again, we've never really seen that this level of intensity as she had been drawn. Katie Hill has kind of been pulled into, and all of the conversations about her sexuality was a question. I believe there was a conversation that she was her husband or in a polyamorous relationship. So there were so many things about this that people were uncomfortable with and used against her.
Yeah. And I can only imagine, I did some research into this for our episode we did around slut-shaming journalists in India. When something that intimate is posted without your consent and then shared, and it's so hard to prevent it, to get it taken down, it just keeps popping up, and to get the notifications and to know that your friends and family maybe have seen these things.
Right.
It's just devastating.
Right.
It makes my heart hurt thinking about it. And the problem, too, that now that we're in this electronic age, it could not even be your body. They could Photoshop your head
on
someone else's body.
They did that with Elizabeth Warren, and I can't remember.
Oh, my goodness.
Who was the journal, and I say that in quotes, who was the person who tried to say that Elizabeth Warren had an affair with a very young man and being a cougar? And then they looked at the photo and they're like, dude.
It was really bad Photoshop.
It was bad. Or so outdated that it was unreal.
Yeah.
And they're like, and that's kind of, but that's the fear. What if they had taken that seriously? What if someone was actually really good at Photoshopping? What if that had happened and her reputation was marred completely? And because people are dying to see a scandal, they want to believe the worst.
Yeah, people believe what they see.
Right.
If we look at Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential run, she was regularly vilified for the sexual infidelities and transgressions of her husband. Meanwhile, Donald Trump was on tape admitting to infidelity and sexual assault himself. So that brings us to gender differences and political scandals. What do those look like? You probably have some idea. But first, it brings us to a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. And we're back with gender differences and scandals. We do judge male and female politicians, and we do judge them differently. You can see the episode I did with the folks from the Daily Zeitgeist around women and the question of likability for more on that, because that is the question that follows female politicians.
Right.
Are you likable?
Right. And I think that's already been a smear campaign for a majority of the women.
Yeah.
Is that I just don't like her.
Yeah.
And it doesn't quite make sense.
Yeah. A lot of my friends, when they were saying, I'm not going to vote for Hillary, and I'd ask why, that's almost always, they say, I just don't like her.
Right.
And that was it.
Right.
And I love, one of my favorite slash horrible things about that is that people at the time, there were numerous reports, Elizabeth Warren is way more likable. We should have gone with her. And now Elizabeth Warren is running.
Right.
And they're like, she's not likable. She's mean. We yell at you.
Right. She yells at you. She tries to be too cool. All of these things.
There are two prevailing theories when it comes to public perceptions of gender, scandal, and electability. Expectancy violations theory involves the various expectations we have when it comes to people and how they should act, behave, dress, speak, what have you. Violating these norms generally results in a negative assessment, uncertainty, and lowered perceptions of credibility. This theory primarily evaluates communication, either verbal or nonverbal, but can and has been applied to political scandal. Gender roles, of course, play a huge part in how we expect people to behave.
Right. And shifting standards theory is more focused when it comes to predicting how reactions and judgments will differ given similar situations, factoring in specific aspects of a person's traits, including gender. These theories are often used in conjunction to get to the root of our societal differential reactions to political scandals and men and women. Basically, you have stereotypes and violating or reinforcing stereotypes and double standards.
Yeah. Pretty much what we're talking about. So stereotypes, because of the stereotype that women in politics are more honest than men, which surprised me, honestly. Mm-hmm. But that's what the research has found, or perhaps that people expect women to be more honest. Women are then judged more harshly and held to more rigid standards when they are found to be dishonest as compared to men. We use a different set of criteria when judging female politicians, we as in the royal we, not me and Samantha, and these standards are stricter. Therefore, given a similar transgression, women will be judged more harshly than men. Women have further to fall, essentially. That results in a significantly higher loss of support when it comes to the vote. This does depend on the perception and acceptance of gender stereotypes of the voter in question. Another piece of this whole thing is women still make up less of our politicians than men, far less. So they are watched more closely.
Right.
In the U.S. specifically, I should
say. In the U.S., yes. Yeah. Perception of corruption is generally lower when more women are present in politics. If this is true, which a handful of studies have suggested it is, it could be a handful of reasons. Women being excluded from male networks of corruption, female candidates being overqualified, pride in female politicians being more risk-averse. It could also be that women know they are being watched more closely and being held to a higher standards. This means that more women in politics might decrease the levels of corruption and scandal. Other researchers have questioned this finding, or at least pointed to the other reasons governments with more female representations may have lower levels of corruption. Freedom of press, for example, has been shown to have the greatest impact on corruption, which makes a lot of sense. And I guess that's even harsher with the fact that we have so much access to social media and so many people spreading whatever opinion they like.
Right. When it comes to sexual scandals, these are more in line with perceived male stereotypes. Boys will be boys. While women involved in sexual scandal is violating all kinds of stereotypes and brings in fears of women's sexual agency and pleasure. The paper we mentioned earlier, Corruption and Sexual Scandal, The Importance of Politician Gender, found that female politicians involved in scandals were assessed less favorably on all dimensions like electability, morality, and competence when compared to male politicians. For male politicians, involvement in scandals did not affect competence assessment, contrary to what was found for the women.
Hmm. So another 2017 study out of Durham University titled Corruption, Accountability, and Gender, Do Female Politicians Face Higher Standards in Public Life? Found that women punish female politicians involved in scandal more harshly than men do, which is not surprising because, yeah, you do kind of put yourself on a different standard, so therefore you would expect to have such a high standard of yourself.
Right.
And you wish to be a better person.
The UN has looked into questions around women and corruption as well, not only perception and the differences in how women go about corruption, but also the impact corruption has on women specifically. According to their data, poor women are hit hardest when it comes to petty or retail corruption, which is basically when services are sold for a bribe instead of provided, and services that are basic and should be provided for free. This type of corruption is often sexualized when women and girls are forced to do sexual favors as bribes. And on top of that, since globally, women are more likely to be barred from work or education and make up a majority of the world's poor, they are disempowered when it comes to changing the status quo, and therefore more disproportionately hit by corruption. Their data found that women have been forced to pay bribes even in life-threatening medical situations and pregnancies for services that are supposed to be free. NGOs have been perpetrators of sex-for-food scandals as well, so this is a pretty widespread problem. Numbers from 2001 out of Botswana found that 67% of female respondents reported having been harassed by a male professor, and 10% agreed to sexual favors out of fears their grades would be negatively impacted if they didn't. If this results in pregnancy, these sexual favors, the female student will most likely be expelled, while the male professor will incur no consequences.
Right, which is gross. So these systems of corruption work to keep women out of political office. Not having access to networks, to money, or property to bribe other officials, being asked for sexual favors to secure the opportunity to run, and these are all barriers that women face at much higher rates than men. And studies have found one way to address this problem is by having more women in office.
Similar to the study we mentioned earlier, the UN also found that women worldwide not only more accurately perceive corruption, they are also less tolerant of corruption. So that thing that you mentioned earlier, Samantha, perhaps women are harsher judges of female politicians embroiled in scandal, but they might be harsher on everyone.
Right.
Yet another study out of 2017, and I wonder what could have inspired all these political scandal studies around that time, read, quote, "We theorize that both hostile and benevolent sexists are more likely than non-sexists to punish women for involvement in a sex scandal, but each for different reasons. We posit that women politicians involved in sex scandals activate traditional gender norms and challenge men's dominant position in the society, thus provoking hostile sexists to punish women more severely than men." Makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some more for you, but first we have a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. So in conclusion, corruption impacts women more. One of the ways to combat this is by getting more women in office. Female politicians are punished more harshly for scandals like corruption and removed from office. Not that people who have done wrong shouldn't be removed from office, but the consequences should be equal regardless of gender. Otherwise, we are trapped in this vicious cycle.
Right. The UN has partnered with various organizations around the world to better measure and fight corruption with particular regards to women and girls.
Yeah, and you can, if you want to look that up, I highly recommend it. They're just very specific in countries and all over. So, yeah, that's our look at women and scandal. If there's any scandals that we didn't touch on that you would like for us to, please send them our way. Or if you want us to expound on one. And, yeah, just to be clear, again, bad things, you should get removed from office.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Anyone who uses power against someone who is not of power should be punished.
Yep.
Or at least, you know, seen.
Yeah. Justice. And I guess sort of related to that, we did want to touch on the ERA for a little bit, the Equal Rights Amendment.
Right.
All right, so recently we had some elections here in the United States that led to some pretty significant wins for Democrats, particularly wanted to look at Virginia,
right,
which turned blue, it flipped, as they say. And this could be a big deal for the Equal Rights Amendment. And it, very briefly, this was a constitutional amendment that would give all Americans equal legal protections no matter their sex. It was passed by the House Senate in 1972, but then enthusiasm for it sort of fizzled out, also was sort of destroyed, thanks in part to the anti-ERA efforts of Phyllis Schlafly, who played Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, at her party the day the deadline for the ERA passed. But there's renewed attention to it because in becoming a blue state, Virginia might ratify it, and it would become the 38th state to do so, which would bring the ERA up to the 3/4 it needs for federal ratification. Another thing that would have to happen is Congress changing the deadline for ratification, which was originally set for 1982, which the Judiciary Committee just approved. Also, some states are doing a whole, like, we ratified it then, but we don't want to do it now. So
right.
I don't know what's going to happen there.
That includes, I think, Tennessee and North Dakota.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
If ratified, the ERA would touch on all kinds of things: protection against pregnancy discrimination, pay equity, maternity and paternity leave, and domestic violence laws.
Right. It's definitely something to watch, as the House has 215 co-sponsors with them voting by the end of the year, and does have actually a couple of Republican sponsors from Alaska and Maine, so that's cool. And the likelihood of it hitting the Supreme Court is very, very high, so that's kind of tedious in itself, and something we all need to pay attention to for sure.
Yeah, I'm certain we will be talking about that again in the coming months.
Right.
So just wanted to put that update in there. Keep an ear out or an eye out for any news.
Ear out. I like it. Little ears out.
Yeah, you got to keep your ears out. And we will be keeping an ears out for any news from you. I guess it would be eyes out. Now I'm confusing myself. We'll be on the lookout.
Well, that doesn't make sense either, does it?
We have confused ourselves.
All right, we'll
terribly.
Just pay attention. How about that? We'll just pay attention.
Yes, we'll excitedly wait to hear from you, listeners. You can email us at stuffmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. And you can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram at @StuffMomNeverToldYou. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Andrew Howard. And thanks to you for listening. Stuff Mom Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.